passive verbs in the Arabic language. What on earth are they, and how do we make them? In today's episode of the Arabic with Sam podcast, it gives me great delight to be explaining this a little bit for the Arabic students out there in the world, because we use the passive in English kind of all the time. We say things like, Harry Potter was written by J.K. Rowling, and things like that. But in the Arabic language, we kind of use the passive sparingly. There needs to really be a good reason why you would use the passive. And it's actually used in the Quran all over the place. So it's a very, very important and very useful bit of Arabic grammar, but something that I think is taught quite badly, as I say, in lots of Arabic programs. You're kind of given an explanation of how to use it with simple verbs, and then it's often not really even touched upon until much later with other derived forms of verbs even. But in today's episode, I'd like to give you some rules that are applicable to all passive verbs throughout all of Arabic. So that's what we'll do, inshallah. So what I want to do, firstly, is just give you an idea and a flavour of what they look like. So we're going to kind of do this in two parts. We need to look at past tense verbs and present tense verbs. So with past tense verbs, you will often hear a u-i-a kind of thing. So with active verbs, or, you know, verbs when we see them the first time, we see the verbs like كتب, جلس, قرأ, for example. كتب meaning he wrote, جلس meaning he sat, and قرأ meaning he read. But with these, you would have كتب, as in it was written, would become كتب. I mean, جلس, it was sat, doesn't really mean anything, you know, linguistically, in terms of its actual meaning. But, I mean, mechanically, it's a word you could make. I mean, I don't know what sort of context you could, you would use it in. But, and then قرئ would mean it was read. And then in the present tense, you tend to have like a يُؤَأُ kind of pattern, right? So, for example, the present tense of those verbs, we would have from كتب, he wrote, يكتبُ, he writes. Yuktabu would mean it is written, right? So that's present tense but passive. It is written. And then with, I mean, let's not do jealous because it doesn't really mean anything. To be sat, you know. Well, we could say that the people are sat in rows, right? But that's really just an active past tense in Arabic. With qara'a, present tense, yaqara'u would be yuqara'u, right? So to say it is read, you know. Okay. So that's kind of the flavour of it. And quite often Arabic programmes just give this flavour without understanding how that would apply to bigger verbs like istamala, a form 10, like istamala, or the verb akharaja, meaning to force out, right? So I want to talk about some really simple rules that you can actually use to apply, you know, the passive pattern, but to all verbs throughout all of Arabic. But before we get into that, we will get to it very shortly, inshallah. Just there's two things I want to talk about. Number one, why we even use them. I mean, I mentioned earlier that in English we use them all the time, kind of willy-nilly, really. And it's just as eloquent, really, in English to use the passive as it is the active. In Arabic, that's not the case. As I say, in Arabic, you really need a good reason for it. So if we take an English sentence, let's say something like, you know, J.K. Rowling wrote Harry Potter, right? That was an example that I gave. There's nothing wrong with that in English, but Arabic would prefer, if you're going to say J.K. Rowling, right, if you're going to say the person who wrote Harry Potter, or sorry, Harry Potter was written by J.K. Rowling, right, if we're going to say J.K. Rowling, just use the active, you know, say J.K. Rowling wrote Harry Potter, rather than Harry Potter was written by J.K. Rowling, because the purpose of the passive in Arabic, for the most part, is to remove the one who did it, right? So, and when I teach this to the children, I use the example of, imagine that you've had a chocolate cake in the fridge, right? Your mum has baked a chocolate cake, it's in the fridge, and you've eaten the chocolate cake. Maybe you've made a mistake, maybe you're just hungry, maybe you like chocolate. The reason's not really important for this. Okay, you've eaten the chocolate cake and she's come home and she says, what's happened to the chocolate cake? Okay, you have two options here. You have an active option where you mention that you're the one who ate it, you confess, right? The active is to confess the one who did it, right? I ate the chocolate cake. That's active, right? But in Arabic, you would only use the passive if you were trying to conceal the one who did it. You could say, the chocolate cake was eaten. That's what happened, right? Not lying. The chocolate cake was eaten. Who by? Wallahu a'lam. You know, so that's the purpose of it in Arabic. It's to remove the one who did the thing, right? To remove what we call the fa'il, to remove the subject. So with a passive verb, we don't even call it a fa'il. We call it a na'ib fa'il. It's like a, you know, a different type of fa'il. It's, you know, the na'ib fa'il is what was the object in the active sentence. So the chocolate cake would become the na'ib fa'il in the example that I gave. So let me do an example to demonstrate that in Arabic. Let's say, for example, we'd say kataba, as I mentioned the verb kataba earlier. Kataba al-rajulu, the man wrote. Kataba al-rajulu al-kitaba, the man wrote the book. Kataba al-rajulu al-kitaba. Okay, the only, if we put that in the passive, we don't need the rajul anymore. If we're going to mention the rajul, then just use the active, right? But in the passive, the kitab would become the na'ib fa'il. We would say, kutiba al-kitabu. Right, the kitabu becomes the na'ib fa'il. Kutiba al-kitabu. So I want to bring your attention to a surah, which is, you know, one that probably everybody listening to this podcast will have heard in their lives. It's one that has a very recognizable rhyming pattern to it. And it's a surah in Juz Amma as well. So most of us memorize it quite early in our Hifz journey. So this is Surah At-Takwir. And Surah At-Takwir is full of these u-i-ah passive verbs. So we have in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ. Whenever you hear this u-i-ah, that's a clue that this verb is passive. Most likely this is a passive, past tense verb if you hear this u-i-ah. So I'm going to read maybe the first 12 ayat of this, and I want you to try to count how many passive verbs you hear, okay? So, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ وَإِذَا الصُّحُفُ نُشِرَتْ وَإِذَا السَّمَاءُ كُشِطَتْ وَإِذَا الْجَحِيمُ سُعِّرَتْ. Okay, so how many did you count there? I'll give you a second to have a think about it. I'll just run through and think. So we had إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ أُوِئَتْ. We had وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ, not passive. Okay, in كَدَرَ means to drop, like drop out. The skies, the stars will like drop out of the sky. وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُوِّرَتْ. سُوِّرَتْ is one. عُطِّلَتْ, حُشِرَتْ, سُجِّرَتْ, زُوِّجَتْ, سُئِلَتْ, قُتِلَتْ, نُشِرَتْ, كُشِطَتْ, سُعِرَتْ. So 11, right? In that 12 ayat, there are 11 passive verbs in there. And there are many used throughout the Quran. It's just with this one, we have so many used in a very short passage. It's kind of my go-to passage for teaching passives. Okay. So I mentioned that kind of one of my objectives of this episode of the podcast is to give you some tools to be able to build passive verbs in the Arabic language, regardless of what verbs they are. So rather than just thinking of the pattern fu'ila, right, like kutiba, kutila, su'ila, for example, because that pattern wouldn't apply to a bigger verb, like the verb ista'mala, for example, or even, you know, let's say form three verb like qatala. Okay, so this is what you've got to write down. And by the way, I've created a bonus resource for those of you who support on Patreon, by the way. Any of you guys who support for £5 and above a month, you support the podcast at that level, then there's a bonus resource for you guys that you can download and print and all that too. It's good for revision, inshallah. So, and also to have all the details written out as well, because it's quite easy to forget some of this stuff. So for the past, for all verbs in all of Arabic, it will look like this. Letter one will have a dhamma, regardless of what verb. Any form of verb, any type of verb, letter one will have a dhamma. So usually that ya on the beginning, in the present tense, like yuktabu, as you might remember me saying earlier, it is written, yuktabu. L1 will have a dhamma, okay? Regardless of whether that's a you or a tu or a nu, right? Probably not a nu. It's unlikely to be the first person, but just for example, right? L1 dhamma, okay? Remember, L1 will have a dhamma. Next, penultimate letter will have a kasra. Sorry, we're talking about the past tense now. Like kutiba, like I mentioned, kutiba in the past tense. So L1, like the ku, will have a dhamma. The penultimate letter in this in the form one, that's the same as the middle, right? But we need to remember it as the penultimate letter, because with longer verbs like istamala, meaning to use, It's not going to be a middle letter in istamala. It'll be the penultimate letter, right? That will take a kasra. So with the verb istamala, we'd have ustamila, right? Instead of istamala, we'd have ustamila. Okay, so the penultimate letter, in the case of istamala, the meme will have a kasra. And then the last letter will be whatever the case ending is, right? In the present tense. In the past, it will be a fatha. Unless it's like a plural or something. Yeah, the last letter will be just whatever it should be anyway, right? So those are the two things to remember in the past. The first letter of the whole word will have a dhamma. The penultimate letter of the whole word will have a kasra. And that's it, regardless of what verb in all of Arabic. So let's try it out with a couple of verbs. So we've done kataba to death. I mentioned su'ila a second ago, which is a useful one. It means was asked. So su'ila, he was asked. Or su'ilet, in the case of the surah, she was asked. Okay, does su'ila, do we see this rule in su'ila? So the first letter will have a dhamma. Su, we do see that. That is right, that holds up. Okay, the penultimate letter, in this case, is the hamza in the middle. Does it have a kasra? Yes, it does. Su'ila. Okay, su'ila. Does it hold up? Does it hold up with the verb darrasa, let's say? I form two verbs, we need to teach. Okay, so we would have durrisa. It was taught, or he was taught, right? Du, that holds up, right? First letter has a dhamma. Ri has a kasra in the middle. Durrisa, he was taught, right? So it holds up. What about a form three verb? The verb qatala. Okay, the first letter needs to have a dhamma. We come into a bit of a difficulty when we have qwa. If you think the verb qatala, we put a dhamma on that qaf at the beginning. What do we do with the elif after it? We can't really have qatala. Arabic doesn't really want qatala. Okay? So what we do is that elif is turned into a waw. We have qutila. Qutila. And these kind of set vowels in the passive, you'll notice these affect longer vowels as well. So, whilst we're on the topic of the past tense verbs, if you think, for example, the verb qala, qala, he said, right? What happens with this is we end up with qila. Okay, that's the kasra that we put on the penultimate, that we always put on the penultimate letter, that affects the penultimate letter of qala, right? Same way we had qutila, we'd have qila, because we need an e sound in the middle, right? In the penultimate letter, we end up with qila. And this is very common in the Quran, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ, and when it was said to them, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ, for example. Okay, so so that's what needs to happen with the vowels. And with this one, with the verb qatala, the waw makes, the waw is turned into a waw because of the dhamma before it on the first letter, right? So qu, ti, we're still obeying the rule of the penultimate letter having a kasra. Qutila, okay? He was fought, right? The verb qatala means to fight. Qutila would mean he was fought. Very nice. Okay, and as I mentioned, the verb istamala, maybe we keep that one as well. We have a look at that as an example. So istamala means to use. Okay, so let's make the first letter have a dhamma. L1 needs a dhamma. That's the first part of the rule. We have ustar. I'm only stopping there because we've come to the penultimate letter, the meme. Ustar, we need a kasra on the penultimate letter. Ustamila. It was used. Ustamila. It was used. Very nice. That's how we make those passives in the past tense. So to recap, those rules were for the past tense, first letter has a dhamma, penultimate letter has a kasra. And then the last letter will either have a fatha, or by default fatha, but it could be something else. Like, let's say, for example, they were used. Okay, we take ustamila, he was used. But we'll put u on the end to make it plural. So we would have ustamilu, right? The letter on the end would be changed from a fatha to something else because of the ending that's going on the end of it. It's not, there's no other rule that you could set in place really for that. But by default, a fatha, unless there's a reason to change it to something else. Okay, the present. The present is very similar, but the only thing that's different is that the penultimate letter has a fatha instead of a kasra. That's the only difference. So, and this will actually make quite a lot of passive verbs look very similar to active verbs. So I mentioned the verb yaqra'u. Yaqra'u, what vowel is on the penultimate letter? There's already a fetha, yaqra'u, that there already is. So in the passive, we just change the first letter to have a dhamma. Letter one has a dhamma. Yuqra'u. So the only difference between he reads and it is read is a dhamma being on the yu at the beginning. So yaqra'u, he reads. Yuqra'u, it is read. Because there's already a fetha on the penultimate letter. Okay? So that's the rule. The first letter will have a dhamma. Penultimate letter will have a fetha. And then the last letter, it will usually be a dhamma, right? But because the present tense verbs with the fi'l mudari' in Arabic can be nasab, can be jazm, can be rafa, there's a case ending that kind of plays, is at play there. You can't necessarily set the vowel at the end for the actually the same reason as the past. It could be plural. You could need an una on the end. But then also there's the case endings at play with the mudari' that there isn't in the madi. Okay, so let's try some other ones. I mentioned yaqra'u in the passive is yuqra'u. I also have the verb here. Let's say the verb kassara, okay, to smash. Kassara yukassiru. Okay, this is really interesting. Yukassiru, he breaks. It already has a yu at the beginning, okay? It already has that dhamma on the first letter. So, but it's not going to be yukassiru because the penultimate letter needs to have a fatha. It will be yukassaru. Yukassaru. So, yukassiru is he breaks. Yukassaru is it is broken, or it is being broken. Yukassaru. Very nice. And actually, I'm going to expand my explanation a little bit. Let's take like the passive and active participles, right? A mukassir is a person who breaks something. Mukassir. The thing that has been broken is a mukassar. Mukassir and mukassar. Those patterns align directly with the passive and the active of the verb, right? So, yukassiru, he breaks. Mukassir is a breaker, right? But yukassaru is it is broken or being broken. And a mukassar is the thing that has been broken. There's a direct correlation in terms of the vowel use between the active verb and the active participle and the passive verb and the passive participle. I'll demonstrate this again with the verb darrasa, as I mentioned a second ago, to teach. So darrasa, or we'll use yudarrisu in the present. Yudarrisu, he teaches. Mudarris is a teacher. Okay? Yudarrasu, he is taught. Mudarrasu, a thing which is taught, or the one who is being taught something. So I'm saying that there's a direct vowel correlation between the active verb and the active participle, and the passive verb and the passive participle. And that right there is actually applicable for all verbs, derived forms of verbs in Arabic. Form 3, 2, 4, 5, 6, all the way up to 10, right? That same principle. So I mentioned actually the form 3 verb, didn't I? Qatala yuqatilu. So let's work with yuqatilu. Yuqatilu is the verb. Yuqatilu, he fights. A fighter is a muqatil. So I want you to pay attention to the vowels on top of these letters, right? Yuqatil, muqatil. The vowel correlation is almost identical. So he is fighting and a fighter. The vowels are almost the same because they're active, right? And in the passive, it would be... okay, so let's work through this together. So it would be... yuqar is fine, actually. Yuqatil. Yuqatil and a muqatil. So the one who is being fought is a muqatil, but the one who's doing the fighting is a muqatil. Right, it's just the kasra to becoming the fatha. Okay, very nice. That's just an example of that with the form 2 and with the form 3. I'm going to slow my voice down a little bit. I feel like I got a bit excited there. And let's come on to the verb istamala, because I mentioned the verb istamala, to use. Let's move into the present tense. Istamala, he used. Yastamilu, he uses in the present. Let's make this present tense one passive. We made the past passive as ustamila, but in the present tense it would be yustamel, yustamelu, yustamelu. Okay, does this obey the rule I mentioned? Letter one needs a dhamma. Penultimate letter needs a fetha in the present tense. Yustamelu, whereas the active would be yastamilu. Okay. Yeah, so yustamelu. It is being used. Yustamelu. Okay, That's everything. So just a really quick recap, just for me to round this off. The rules that I've based this whole lesson around are this. Past tense passive verbs have the pattern as follows. Letter one will have a dhamma. Penultimate letter will have a kasra in the past. In the present tense, first letter will have a dhamma. Penultimate letter will have a fetha. And you're going to apply that to all verbs throughout all of Arabic. I took a little tangent when I talked about the correlation between active verbs and active participles and passive verbs and passive participles. That is applicable to all derived forms of verbs as well. Not the form one. Okay, it's not applicable to kateba or qara'a or sa'ala. Okay? Those are the ones that obey the same pattern as the fa'il and maf'ul. So with kateba, it's not a derived form of verb. So the active participle is a katib, the passive participle is a maktub. With sa'ala, because it's not a derived form of verb, the passive participle would be mas'ul, the asked, the one who's been asked, or a sa'il would be a questioner. Much like with the verb qara'a, the active participle, the reader, would be a qari', but the thing which is read would be maqru'. Okay. I think that's plenty for today. I've got excited about things. It's been emotional. It's been an up and down lesson. There's been some bits and bobs in there, which we nearly maybe got lost in the weeds. Maybe this one was a bit heavy for some of us. But no problem at all. May Allah bless you guys with beautiful Arabic. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.